Hey, this is Dean Cortez. I'm back here in the studio with John Sin for interview number 4 in our series. We discussed already approach anxiety, how to overcome it. Then we talked about opening and approaching women. Then we discussed social comfort. And now in part 4 of this series, we're going to discuss attraction. It's a huge topic and it's very much misunderstood by a lot of guys. A lot of guys just don't grasp what attracts women to men versus what attracts men to women. There's a very big difference between the two. And the good news is, as we're going to discuss, with women, their attraction to men is not based on looks. Women are hardwired to look for other signs and signals. And women have these attraction switches that you can learn how to flip. When you understand how to do this, it doesn't matter if you're not the girl's type, you know, or so she thinks at first. You become every woman's type when you know how to flip their switches. Because for women, attraction is not a conscious decision. If a guy is giving off the right signals and making her feel certain emotions, she is going to feel attraction towards him. Now, on the other hand, when you fail to flip those switches and you don't know what you're doing, doesn't matter how nice a guy you are, doesn't matter how much money you spend on her or the gifts that you buy her, if you're not flipping those switches, that woman will never feel sexually attracted to you. You'll be stuck in that friend zone forever. Okay, so let's get into it, John. First, I want to ask you about this whole idea that most guys don't understand attraction, and they don't get that it's just not enough for you to be funny or for you to be cocky or for you to be interesting, you know? At some point during that interaction, you've got to know how to flip her switches and make her feel sexual attraction. You've got to go beyond the small talk and the getting to know you stuff. I mean, during that first conversation, you've got to know how to shift gears and take it to that next level. So, John, let's start off by talking about this idea of mine that most guys fail to understand attraction and don't even really think about this stuff when they're talking to women. Like, the average guy figures, as long as she's laughing at his jokes and as long as she's listening to his stories and standing there talking to him, he thinks she's making forward progress and it's going pretty well. But in most cases, the guy's doing nothing to make her feel sexual attraction. And that's such a crucial part of this whole process. I mean, so John, do you find this to be a pretty common problem among the guys that you teach? Are they unaware of the importance of building sexual attraction? Do they not get how it works? You know, what's going through their minds?
I think that the common guy probably doesn't spend a lot of time thinking about attraction, what it is, and how to build it, because they subscribe to what I like to call the Disney myth, which is that eventually, no matter what you do, who you are, what you look like, you're going to find a girl who 100% likes you for who you are. And even though you're shy and not really doing a whole lot, the two of you are going to be brought together by some sort of cosmic connection. And when it's right, you don't have to try or do anything or this, that, or the other. The truth of the matter is that unless you're really, really physically attractive, or you have a naturally charismatic personality, or you excel in building social circles, that's not generally what happens for most people. So I think being aware that attraction is something that can be created when it's not there, that attraction is something that is necessary for moving a interaction forward, is something that I think the average guy doesn't think about. Now, there's another type of guy out there who studies dating, who maybe isn't quite getting results yet, maybe he's even been doing this for a long time, and he's obsessed with the idea of attraction. So in my experience in teaching guys, there are guys who don't spend enough time thinking about attraction because they're really new to this stuff, and they don't realize that it's something that can be, that is 100% necessary in order to allow a woman to actually let you game her. And then there are guys who think that attraction is the be-all and end-all of everything, and that if you can just get a woman attracted to you, then she'll jump into bed with you. The truth, as with everything, lies somewhere in the middle. I think attraction is something that you need to be aware of. We'll get into what is attraction, I think, but it's not the be-all to end-all of picking up girls and meeting women. It's... to me, attraction is like a key, because if you just go out and you get women attracted and you don't escalate the interaction or move things forward with qualification an escalation, then all you are is you're a really nice, fun guy who's very entertaining to talk to, but isn't actually getting laid. So attraction kind of is this key, because if a girl's not attracted to you and you can't make her feel that emotion, and I guess we can define the emotion in a minute, but if you can't make her feel that, then you can't actually game her. A lot of guys seem to think that the game is all about getting a girl to be attracted, and that once they can do that, that everything takes care of itself. But attraction is just this key that allows you to kind of have access to a girl's emotions. If a girl's not attracted to you, you're not going to have any sort of emotional relevance to her for her to allow you to qualify her or escalate, because she just doesn't care. You don't have that much value that you're affecting her emotions. Attraction is one of many emotions that we need to affect in order to get a woman into bed. So it's one of the more important ones, but it's no more important than, you know, 7 or 8 other different emotions you need to make a girl feel.
That is true. And I also find it really interesting how attraction works so differently for women than it does for men. And actually, guys should be encouraged by this, because a lot of guys are under the impression that certain women are out of their league. Like, they see a really hot girl and they'll assume that that girl, because she's so good looking, is only going to be attracted to really good looking guys. But the thing is, her attraction triggers are not based on the guy's looks. I mean, let's be honest, when a guy is tall and really handsome, is it going to be easier for him to meet women? Yeah, I mean, women are going to give that guy a chance. You know, they're going to initially be more receptive to that guy than they will be towards a guy who is not, you know, conventionally handsome. However, I've known plenty of guys who stay in great shape. They're very good looking guys. They even have a lot of money in some cases. But these guys don't have game. They don't understand attraction. They never learn this stuff. And they have a really hard time making progress with women. They meet them fairly easily. They can talk to them. But they can't build attraction because they don't know how, and they can't get laid as a result. And on the other hand, John, you know, you and I know lots of guys who we've coached who were able to become highly attractive to women, even though they don't have the physical, you know, advantages that other guys have. So explain this to our listeners, John, how attraction works with women versus men, because there is a big difference, and guys have to understand this. It's really imperative that you grasp this and that you use it to your advantage, you know?
Yeah. See, as men, we are going to be much more physical. In fact, women have a lot of sexual power because of male sexual psychology. In the book Why Women Have Sex, they have a whole section on this. But there's a bunch of reasons that men misunderstand attraction, and it has to do with our sexual psychology. The first thing is that we are turned on by looks. We're visually aroused. Women are not visually aroused. That's why women are not as interested in porn, because porn is a purely visual stimulation. We also have something called the sexual overperception bias, which makes us think that anytime a girl does anything nice for us or, you know, polite, that she's interested, which is another thing that messes guys up. And lastly, men have constant sexual fantasies and desire sexual variety, which is known as the Coolidge effect. So all those things kind of are how we as men become sexually attractive. They all are based on looks, things that are evolutionarily wired into us, like big breasts, say, you know, fertility, wide hips, thin, smooth skin, youth indicators. Those are the things that men are always going to be attracted to. Whereas women, their attraction filters are a little bit different. Women are looking for, physically things like body size, height. They're looking for things like deep voices. They're looking for things like, social proof, how people react to you, allocation of resources or the ability to get resources, ambition. They're really more looking for cues as to who you are as a person and to whether or not you would be someone who would make a good mate or not. Whereas men are looking for the visual clues, women are looking for cues in your personality, your body language, and the way people interact with you. So it's not quite the same process. For men, attraction is kind of like a light switch in that it's either there or it's not. You know, like a girl could be really interesting and have a lot of social power and you know, be really successful and fascinating. But if she's 300 pounds, most men are not going to be attracted to her. Whereas women, if you're 300 pounds but you have everything else, you can still get women attracted. So it actually helps guys who aren't necessarily the ideal vision of what girls envision when they think about a perfect 10 guy right away physically, because the physical switch is not as quick for girls. Girls are not making a yes or no decision based on just how you look. There's going to be some time taken in order to figure out if you have the clues that tell her that you're a guy who's able to survive and you're able to make her feel the right emotions.
Well, you touched on a really important point there, which is that women are powerfully attracted to qualities like ambition and passion and guys who have a very clear sense of purpose in life. And you don't need to have the money and the success in the big career yet, but if she gets the sense that you're moving towards those things, she'll want to go along for the ride with you. You know, she'll want to be a part of that. It's a very exciting prospect for a woman to meet a guy who has this great potential. I don't mean money-making potential necessarily. I'm talking about a guy who clearly is on a path to living a really full, active, fun, interesting life. Women love passionate guys because that implies that it's a guy who can be passionate towards her and towards a relationship. So my question is, John, how should guys project these qualities to women during the conversation without seeming like they're trying to impress her or trying too hard, you know?
Well, for me, for everything I teach, attraction comes down to four basic characteristics. And so there's different things that are going to demonstrate these characteristics, but overall, the four things that really form an attractive personality are being interesting, and being interesting is all about what you say. There's a lot of methods out there that say, like, just get into a great state, and, you know, if you're dressed cool and you're having fun, then everything will work. I think that doesn't apply to most guys who are learning this stuff. Most guys who are learning this stuff are terrible conversationalists, and they don't have any clue what to talk about, how much they're supposed to talk about themselves, how much they're supposed to ask questions, what's relevant to now, what's weird. So being interesting is about things like storytelling, using cold reads, using role plays, you know, using open loops, multiple threads, all sorts of ways to be an interesting storyteller, to talk in, interesting conversationalist, to speak in a way that tells women interesting things about yourself, doesn't ask too many questions, doesn't make them uncomfortable, is fun, and intriguing. And that's kind of one form of attraction, you know, like doing things that are just intriguing, like psychic cold reads and like, you know, psychological tests and games and stuff like that is one type of attraction. And you don't want to do all of that, but you do need some of that. And that's kind of being interesting. Then there's being fun. And being fun, to me, is one of the most important things out there, probably the most important thing, because fun is emotional stimulation. When it comes to interacting with women, what gets you girls is the way you make them feel. So if they're having fun talking to you, they're not going to be distracted by anything else. Even if their friends want to leave or, you know, there's other guys there, they're going to be hooked into you. And being fun, you know, is things like energy levels, being funny, you know, keeping things emotionally interesting, varying up the emotions you give a girl, taking on an emotional journey, being silly, all sorts of stuff like that. Then you have being confident. And being confident is about the idea that you're presenting a face of confidence. And confidence is just the idea that no matter what comes up, you'll handle it. You have faith in your ability to handle any situation. So you don't lose your cool. You don't freak out. You're not afraid to talk about yourself. You're not afraid to demonstrate interest in the woman. You're not afraid to talk about things that are interesting to you. You don't try to cater to the situation. A lot of things that go into coming across confident. And coming across confident is different than being confident. You don't have to be a confident person to come across confident. And lastly, being masculine. Doing the things that make it obvious that you're a man and she's a woman and that there are polarities and energy levels that go with both of those. And I'm not a big energy woo-woo guy, but I do believe there are certain things that are masculine and there are certain things that are feminine. And you have to do the things that are masculine in order to make the girl do the things that are feminine. If you're interacting with her in an asexual or feminine manner, then she's not going to be attracted, because that's not what women are designed to be attracted to. Women are designed to be attracted to men. So that's things like dominance, leading, maturity, frame control, being non-reactive, all that sort of stuff kind of fits into the idea of masculinity. So for me, when it comes to qualities that men are attracted to, I say stick to those four things, but there's probably 10 to 12 subcategories in each of those four subjects. So that's kind of, to me, when guys are like, what makes someone attractive? I go, be interesting, fun, confident, and masculine. But like I said, there's a lot of subcategories. Like I mentioned, I didn't get to all of them, but I got to a few of them in that explanation right there. So there's a lot of stuff in that vein. But those are kind of the four boxes that you want to check off when you're worried about, am I being an attractive person?
Well, I find it interesting how when you ask women, what's the most attractive quality in a man, usually they're going to answer a sense of humor. And, you know, I don't really buy that completely. I don't really think that being a funny guy is the most attractive quality you can possess. But what I do think is that when women think about a guy with a sense of humor, they're thinking about other qualities. Like, they're thinking about a guy who's confident, who's playful, who's not afraid to tease them and challenge them. You know, because the guy in their mind who's funny is a guy who is relaxed and confident. And those are the more attractive qualities, in my opinion. There's no doubt, though, that a sense of humor is important as long as you use it the right way. You know, when women say they like guys with senses of humor, they're not referring to guys who are, like, you know, just busting out one-liners constantly and keeping everything really light and humorous the whole time, and, you know, trying to tell funny stories constantly. It's the guy with the more relaxed, laid-back sense of humor that I think women really respond to. But what do you think, John? I mean, I know you have a very sharp sense of humor, a very cutting, sort of sarcastic sense of humor that works for you. But is this sense of humor the most attractive quality, or how does this really play into the whole thing?
Yeah, number one, it is that much of an attraction switch. One of my natural advantages is that I know how to make girls laugh. I've literally laughed probably 50 girls' pants off, where I've done nothing else but make them laugh and escalate sexually. So yeah, it is a big thing, for sure. Here's the thing, though. You have to be funny. It isn't like a option. If you want to get girls, every guy I know that is good with girls is funny. There's no leeway on this. Girls like to laugh. It's a positive emotion. You have to be able to make girls laugh in order to be good at cold approach pickup. There's just no way around it. Now, here's the fucked up rub, which is, I don't necessarily know how to make you funnier. I'll give some tips that I've been giving for years. The best thing guys can do is take an improv comedy class. If you live in a major city, there definitely is one. If you live in a minor city, check your community colleges, because oftentimes they have improv classes at community college. Improv is great because it forces you to think on your feet, which is what's going to happen when you're talking to girls. You know, it's no use having 15 minutes of stand-up routine jokes memorized, because you're not going to be able to do that when you're talking to girls. But improv, it teaches you how to spin off of things. It teaches you how to use misinterpretation. They teach you about playing off of your audience and your other people in the scene, which is going to be good with girls, because when you're talking to girls, you can either make them part of the audience for a joke or part of the joke itself. But that's the biggest thing I recommend. And most guys don't take an improv class, so then they don't really get funnier. So other things you can do. You can steal jokes verbatim from less well-known stand-up comedians. That's something I recommend guys do. But you have to be able to make girls laugh. The other thing with humor is that when it comes to girls, there's like girl humor and guy humor, and they're kind of different. So like guy humor generally ranges from like watching people get hit in the nuts to like really smart, well-written political satires of, like, you know, George Carlin and guys like that. Whereas girl humor is just silly. So that's kind of the good news about the whole humor issue, is that you don't have to be funny like George Carlin or like Dave Chappelle or any great stand-up comedian. You don't even have to be as hysterical as me. You just have to be silly. So things like misinterpretations or comparisons, girls are always going to think are funny. The easiest thing you can start doing if you're not funny right now is just using funny misinterpretation. So, like, for example, if I'm talking to a girl and, you know, I'm like, what's on the agenda for later? And she's like, I just think I'm going to go home and go to bed. I'll misinterpret that as if she's trying to get me into bed. I'll be like, bed already? I'm like, geez, I need, like, dinner and a date. I'm not that kind of girl, you know? Or, you know, if the girl is like, she's says something like, you know, you're really funny. I might misinterpret that as like her asking me to come home with her. And I'll be like, so you ready to get out of here now? That's a really easy way to just start being funny. The other thing to think about is that there's self-deprecating humor. There's humor about the girl, and then there's humor about other people, right? So self-deprecating humor is where you make jokes about yourself. Generally, when you make jokes about yourself, they have to be super obvious that they're not real. Like, I make a lot of jokes about having a small penis and being really bad in bed, which is just not something that any guy would really bring up if he was serious when if he's talking to a girl that he's, you know, hitting on. So that's, I can self-deprecate, and they know that I'm not actually making fun of myself and I don't have low self-esteem, which is usually the problem when guys start doing self-deprecating stuff. You know, like the best example I can always give is everyone knows a fat guy who has like a 5-minute routine about how he's fat, and that he just goes over every time he meets a new person because he's just using it as a defense mechanism. That's the stuff you want to stay away from. But you can definitely make fun of yourself for stuff that like obviously isn't true, or for things that are kind of like funny. Like I make fun of myself for being a bad boyfriend a lot of the time too. All that stuff's good. Making fun of the girl is good to a point, but like you want to be real careful with this. Like, you don't want to just become the guy who teases the girl, because eventually she's going to start getting annoyed with that. And you also want to be aware of what stuff to make fun of. Like, you could have a girl who's really tough, but there's like one thing she's really sensitive about. I'll give an extreme example from my own life. Like, I met this girl, and like, I like really sarcastic, kind of bitchy girls. Those are generally the girls I get along best with, because we can make fun of each other really hardcore. And like, so we'll tell each other we hate each other. Like, I'll tell them they're fat and ugly, and like, I'll go really, but they know it's a joke. There's one girl who, she kind of told me she had been like sexually abused, and I made a joke about it. Like, not even like a joke about, oh, you were sexually abused, but I was like, look, you know, like the next time we hang out, I'll put like a body pillow in between us, because I know you have like the sexual stuff. I'm like, I want to take the tension away. And she got really mad about it. So you've got to be aware of where those lines are, even with a girl who like previously has told me she hates me and like that I'm a horrible person and she's much, much cooler than me and all this stuff that's pretty hardcore. You can still go too far even with that type of girl. So be aware of anything a girl might be sensitive about: her weight, you know, her goals, her dreams, stuff she's working hard on, abuses, family issues, that kind of stuff. And then making fun of other people, that's kind of where you have a lot of freedom. Like, you can definitely people watch and make fun of people around you. And girls are really into that, and that's usually a pretty good way of interjecting some humor too. So that'd be what I would say for guys who want to get funnier. You do have to be able to make girls laugh. You know, I've never met anyone who's good with girls who can't. Even guys who seem real dumb, they're able to make girls laugh with real rudimentary humor, even if it's like fart jokes and stuff like that. And like, I don't recommend guys make those jokes, but I have seen guys who get girls laughing at really inappropriate stuff like that. It's just, laughter is one of the signs of like social submission too. So it's like, the more you can make a girl laugh, the more they kind of get good emotions and want to talk to you more.
Well, I do know guys who always use self-deprecating humor. Like, if the guy is short, or he's losing his hair, or he's got a big belly, you know, these guys will always throw in jokes about that, I guess to make the girl feel like it's no big deal, you know? But this can backfire too, I think. There can be a fine line between being self-deprecating and not taking yourself too seriously, and then drawing attention to one of your shortcomings. But what do you think about this?
I mean, I think it depends. Like, you have to be really confident about everything else about yourself in order to use self-deprecating humor. Like, if you're a really confident guy or a guy who comes across really confident and you use self-deprecating humor, it works really well. If you're kind of a nerdy, awkward, uncomfortable guy and you use self-deprecating humor, it looks like you're doing anything just to fit in with the cool kids. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis thing. If a guy has something he's insecure about, like actually insecure about, I would recommend they don't bring it up, because sometimes girls will like make jokes too about the self-deprecating stuff you're talking about, and like it's something you're insecure about and you're not going to be comfortable with people joking around about it and it being a subject of conversation, then you definitely want to be aware of that and not use that kind of tactic.
Mm-hmm. You know, another point I want to make about this whole sense of humor thing and how to use it is that you don't want to overdo it, and you want to make sure that you escalate. You're not just being funny. You're using your humor as a way to get things moving in the right direction. Like a friend of mine, for example, this guy is hilarious. I mean, this guy could literally be a stand-up comic. He's so funny, but he has a really hard time getting laid because he's always being the funny guy. And that's a mistake, because a sense of humor is a great way to meet women and to capture their attention and get them into talking to you. But at some point, you've got to move things forward. You've got to escalate. You've got to look at humor as a seduction tool and not just a way to make girls laugh and think you're clever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, and see, here's the beauty of humor in my mind, is that the easiest way to introduce sex as a subject is to make a joke about it. The easiest way to introduce the idea of you and her as a couple or you and her in some sort of sexual relationship is to make a joke about it. The easiest way to talk about a girl's past sexual history is to make a joke about it. So, to me, the beauty of humor is that it allows you to get sexual very quickly. Like, for instance, like if I'm talking to a girl in a bar, I like move her around, I almost always will like spill a little bit of my drink on her, and then like she'll be like, "Oh, you spilled on me," or like, "You got me wet," or something like that, and I'll be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I have that effect on women." Like, that's like a staple of my routine, right? And it's funny and girls always laugh, right? But you know, or, you know, another thing I'll always say to girls is like, when a girl's like, "You're really this," or like when a girl compliments me, I'll be like, "Look, if you feel the need to throw your panties at me, just, it's okay. Just get it out of the way now. 'Cause like later on it might be awkward." Right. But I'll start making jokes about, you know, or, you know, if a girl says something bratty, I'll tell her that her last boyfriend obviously didn't spank her enough. Right. But like all of these little jokes, they're introducing and making me a more sexual person. But they're also not freaking the girl out, right? Whereas if I'm just, like, talking to a girl and she says something bratty and I'm like, "You like to be spanked, don't you?" She could get creeped out sexually. But if I'm just like, "Your last boyfriend obviously didn't spank you enough," and she laughs and goes, "Oh, you're totally right," now I know she likes to be spanked and she's kind of like a more rough sexual girl without me doing anything to indicate that I was sexually interested. So that to me is the beauty of humor, is that it is a natural sexual escalator, in that you can joke about sex and I mean, you can use that as a way to bait girls into sex talk.
Definitely. So let's move on. I want to get your thoughts on one of the big cliches I see out there. When I look at programs being offered by other pickup artists and gurus, these guys are always claiming looks and money don't matter, you know? And but let's be honest, that statement is bullshit. To say looks and money don't matter at all is false. That implies that you can be grossly overweight, you can be badly dressed, you can have bad hygiene, and you can be totally broke, and you can still bang supermodels if you use these tactics and techniques that I'm going to sell you for $49.95, you know, or whatever the guy's pitching. So let's cut the crap and get to the bottom of this. John, tell me your opinion on this. I mean, do looks and money matter? Do they matter in a certain way? Do they not matter in certain ways?
So I'm going to break some hearts here, because I am like the only person I've been giving the truth about looks and money speech for a long time, because I think it's ridiculous that people sit there and say that they don't matter at all. Obviously, a guy, and then you'll even get worse things. Like, there's one guy out there who says that it's harder for good looking guys to pick up girls. And I'm just like, you're a liar. The truth is, looks and money are definitely advantages. But that's all they are. They're not anything more than advantages. Like, there's a million advantages when it comes to girls. You know, you could have a job that's an advantage, like you're a photographer, or, you know, you're the manager of a Hooters. You could have a sense of humor as an advantage. You could have, you know, really good conversational skills as an advantage. You could have a really interesting identity and life that's an advantage. You could have really interesting hobbies. You could have a bunch of female friends as an advantage. There's a million advantages when it comes to picking up girls. Looks and money just happen to be two of them, and they happen to be the two most really obvious ones that you can see working for guys when it comes to picking up girls. But so they do matter, but they're not the be-all and end-all. There are guys who are poor and bad-looking who get good-looking girls. It's just it's stupid to say that like the guys who are rich or or really good-looking don't have an advantage, because they do. But that's all it is. So when it comes to generating attraction, that's the way to look about it. Like, looks and money are just two of the many ways of generating attraction. They're just two very well-known things that girls respond to, but they're no more important than working on your storytelling skills or getting really good at starting conversations or getting really good at making girls laugh or getting girls really good at cold reading so that girls are interested in how you know about them as people. They're not the be-all and end-all at all. That's one thing that's true as well.
Well, as far as guys who have lots of money and date really hot women, I think oftentimes these guys get a bad rap. I mean, think about this. Whenever you see a couple and the guy is unattractive and he's with some gorgeous babe on his arm, everyone always assumes that she's a gold digger and she's only with him for his money. But you know what? That guy, in order to achieve that success and that wealth, he probably has qualities like massive self-confidence, leadership abilities, passion, ambition, talent, and those are the qualities beyond the money that women really find deeply attractive. Now, the cool thing is, any guy can project those same qualities. You know, you don't need to have money right now or a lot of success to project ambition and passion and talent and confidence and all those other good things. And those are the qualities that are going to make women feel really bonded to you, and they're not going to want to leave you. I mean, how many rich guys out there, how many, you know, guys who are famous athletes and celebrities and movie stars, these guys are constantly getting dragged through divorce court and going through big public breakups and dramas. They can't hold on to a woman. You can be a multimillionaire and still be a very insecure, needy person. Actually, a lot of Hollywood actors fall into that category. So I just think it's those core qualities that ultimately make a guy really successful with women in the long term.
That's definitely a part of it. I mean, I think if you look at it in terms of the sexual economics, in every species, men have to invest time, resources, and monetary investment in order to get vagina. Like, that's basically like the whole moral of Why Women Have Sex, the book that just came out last year, is basically that female sexuality is a fungible asset, meaning that it can be traded or bartered or outrightly sold. So in one form or another, as a guy, you're paying for that. And I say that as someone with a minor in women's studies and who considers himself an absurd feminist. But that's just the truth of the matter is that there is sexual barter. Barter is a part of the sexual selection process, whether it's a guy paying for sex or it's a girl getting her bills paid or moving into her boyfriend's apartment. You know, that's always going to be a part of it. It's naive and immature to sit there and say that it's not a part of it. But it's also overly misogynistic to sit there and say that all women are whores and all they care about is money too. Like with everything, I think the truth is always in the middle somewhere.
That's definitely true. And the bottom line is that a guy has to have his act together, okay? Women are looking for a certain level of stability and security. So if you're a guy who can't hold a job, who is in tons of debt, and has no real direction in life, you know, you can't blame your problems with women on the fact that they're all materialistic gold-digging bitches, because they're not. They do have certain needs and expectations. Anyway, I just think it's sort of a cop-out when a guy can't get his shit together and then he complains that all the women are gold diggers and only want rich guys and they're all materialistic, you know, and that's why he can't get any chicks.
Or he just doesn't want to recognize the fact that he's kind of a loser. That's, I mean, like, that's another big part of it.
Yeah, I'd say you're correct on that one. So getting back to attraction, now, would you say that there's different forms of attraction? Are there different kinds of attraction you might want to create? Let me explain. Like, for example, if you're at a nightclub on a Saturday night and you want to pull off a same night lay, get a girl back to your place that night, would you want to approach the attraction process differently than if, say, you were going out on a date with a girl who you wanted to turn into a serious girlfriend? In other words, depending on the situation and on your goal, are there different attraction switches that you want to try to hit in the girl?
Yeah, I like to think about it in terms of a couple of different categories of attraction. So the first level of attraction you have, and not like the first in terms of it comes first or anything like that, but just the first one that I thought of right now, is sexual attraction. Sexual attraction encompasses a couple of things. It encompasses physical attraction, right? Because we have to in our thinking models about this stuff equate for reality. And physical attraction is a reality, but what is physical attraction? It's a sexual thing. Like, it's if a woman is physically attracted to you, it's because you hit some sort of stereotype or sexual map that she made earlier in her life that, you know, says you're sexy, or you fit, you know, enough of the criteria of the overall sexy guy box that ticks it. But it's a sexual thing. She knows nothing about who you are as a person. You could be a big loser, you know, with no ambition, none of these qualities, not good with girls, but just physically attractive. And then sexual attraction also occurs in the arousal process, right? It's when girls start thinking about guys sexually. Like, a rock star generates a tremendous amount of sexual attraction because there's bragging rights, there's the validation behind getting picked by this guy. Like, any interest that a girl has in a rock star is going to start out as just pure sexual attraction. Then you have what I like to think of as value-based attraction. Value-based attraction is kind of the value you present yourself. I tend to think of it, you know, kind of as an overall package thing, as like, what is your social proof? What's your identity? You know, what kind of conversational skills do you have? What value do you bring to the experience of talking? Can you offer her any sort of value through her career, through connections, stuff like that? Money, looks kind of fall into the value, right? What's she getting out of the being attracted? What do you have that makes her attracted? And not just what do you have in terms of assets, but like, do you have an interesting personality? Are you charismatic? Are you really funny? Then you have your intrigue-based attraction. And intrigue-based attraction is kind of things that make the girl interested. This is where things like the cube, cold reading, you know, cocky and funny answers, being ambiguous, making girls confused, all ties in. This is that type of attraction. And lastly, you have kind of attention-based attraction. And, like, kind of your emotional attraction. You're, like, your buying temperature, right? Which is basically the lowest form of attraction, because it's very finite in the moment. You know, like, you make a funny teasing comment to a girl and you've got her attention for 10 seconds. But as soon as something better comes along, you're going to lose it again. So those are kind of the four or five different categories that I think attraction falls into. And there's different girls that are going to react to different types of them. See, like, that's where kind of knowing what type of girl you're dealing with and what you want are going to kind of change the way that you're going to approach the woman. Because if she's kind of a party girl, you know, you need more kind of sexual value and buying temperature attraction and less of the kind of, you know, really intrigue-based attraction. So it kind of differs with girls and with kind of what your strengths are as well. Like, everyone's going to have different things they do better and different things they do worse. So it's kind of – that's why it's so important to know what kind of girl you're looking for, and to also have an idea of what kind of girl the person you're interacting with is as you keep talking to her.
Right. And another mistake I see guys making all the time is thinking they need to be friends first with a woman, like completely trying to mask their intentions of sleeping with her and trying to be the harmless, nice guy who just wants to hang out with her and listen to her problems. And the guy thinks that somehow, eventually, you know, she'll magically develop attraction towards him and develop those feelings for him. But it never happens, because once the guy is stuck in that friend zone and the girl has mentally placed him in that box, I mean, it is damn near impossible to make a woman suddenly feel a sexual attraction towards you, you know? I mean, I went through it many years ago. Most guys have been through it, where you like a girl, but you're afraid to make your feelings known, so you're her friend for a long time, and it's like torture. And then finally one day, usually if some alcohol is involved, you know, you blurt out your feelings, and you confess to her, you know, that you want her in that way. And that's when the girl is like, huh? You know, but we're friends. You know, I love you as a friend. And you get that whole speech. It never works out. So, John, tell me your thoughts on the friend zone and whether you think when a guy is stuck in that zone, if it's even possible for him to ever make a woman feel that gut-level sexual attraction towards him, or has he just totally blown his chance?
I don't necessarily know that the friend zone really exists. I think the I'm not interested in you zone exists, and girls call it the friend zone so they don't hurt guys' feelings. Most of the time, and I'm talking about cold approach, but like if you approach a girl at a bar and she's like, I just want to be friends, you've just done something wrong and she doesn't really ever want to talk to you ever again. So I think when guys get stuck in this friend zone with girls, they're basically validating the girl's ego and they're not actually friends. Like I have a lot of actual female friends that I'm not interested in trying to have sex with. But the friend zone kind of occurs when you want something more and the girl is trying to not hurt your feelings. So basically it happens when you're demonstrating a lot of interest in a girl who's not demonstrating the same interest in you, or who is demonstrating kind of signs of politeness, right? Like if a girl is not working hard to win you over and she's just kind of being polite and like putting up with you, like you shouldn't be escalating the interaction. If I had a dollar for every time I've watched guys ask girls for phone numbers when it's so obvious the girl's not into them, I would probably not be teaching pickup right now. So I think, Like I said earlier, men have something called the sexual overperception bias, right? So if they meet a girl and, you know, they have something in common, or, you know, the girl's nice to them just because she's a nice person, guys tend to think that they're sexually interested. And so then they jump into the, like, let me ask you on a date thing without actually seeing if the girl's qualified, right? If anyone's in sales out there, it'd be like calling up a prospect, not giving them any sort of sales pitch, just the fact that they picked up the phone and were talking to you, being like, so, ready to buy some lumber siding? There's a whole process of getting the girl attracted and then qualifying her that goes on before you can really start to demonstrate the big move of asking a girl out or, you know, trying to make out with her or any of this. Like, there's a lot of signals girls have to give before they're going to be ready for that, and most guys, because of this sexual overperception bias, they just assume that if a girl's talking to them and being nice, that she must want to hook up or date, which is just not reality.
Well, what about when you start escalating with a girl during the conversation and you're flirting, you know, and that sexual vibe is building, and then she says something like, well, I'm not looking to date anybody right now, or I just got out of a really long relationship and I want to be single right now, or she might say, you know, I never sleep with guys the first night that I meet them. Or she might say she has a boyfriend. She might mention the boyfriend, you know. And when guys hear this stuff, a lot of times they get flustered and they just sort of stop what they're doing and they think, well, shit, you know, now I have no chance. She's got a boyfriend, or, you know, she's not up for hooking up tonight. But I think in a lot of cases, women say this stuff to test us. They want to see how we'll respond. In some cases, if you're making her feel attraction, she'll say this stuff not to back you off, but to sort of figure out in her own mind if you're the kind of guy she does want to hook up with, because she wants to see how you'll respond. Are you going to keep your cool and keep moving forward, or are you going to wuss out?
Here's one of the weirdest things about girls, and one of the things that I think is hardest for men to understand, is that very little, and I hate saying stuff like this because, like, guys are going to take it the wrong way, but very little of what women say needs to be taken seriously. Like, guys always come up to me and, like, they'll be like, well, I like girls who don't do same night lays or this, that, or the other. And I'm like, every girl, given the right circumstances, will have a same night lay. It's For some girls, it may just be a certain celebrity or something like that. But every girl, given the right context, is the type of girl who does that. A lot of girls are going to say things like I used to joke that if a girl tells me she's not sleeping with me that night, she's basically already agreed to sleep with me. So you can't take stuff like that seriously. You got to just look at what her actions are. If a girl's on my couch making out with me and she's telling me she's not going to sleep with me, her actions are saying one thing while her words are saying another thing, right? And I know that you judge people by their actions, not by their words, especially girls, right? You know, if she's, like, taking her top off and telling me, like, we're not going to have sex, I know that I don't even really need to pay any attention to that because, obviously, she's taking clothes off. I think guys just don't get that because men are so logical and men are drilled early on to say what you mean and mean what you say, whereas women are not held to that same standard. It's one of the reasons that I like having a lot of female friends because I can tell one of my best female friends that she's a cunt and I hate her at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And by like 5 o'clock, I can just call her again and we don't need to apologize or act like that ever happened because with women, it's perfectly normal to say something that you completely don't mean and then 5 minutes later do the exact opposite. And that's real tough for men to understand. It took me forever to understand it. Even sometimes now, I'll be like, why is this girl saying this? Like, this makes no sense. Like, and then 15 minutes later, it's different. So it's one of the kind of rules of dealing with women is that women are not held to the same responsibility with their language as men are. You can't hold, it's not lying. I think David Dieta in The Way of the Superior Man even talks about it. It's not lying when a girl says one thing and then does the exact opposite. It's just emotionally at the moment she felt the opposite, but then her emotions overtook and she was trying to fight against it or whatnot. So things like, I take things really slow, you know, I'm not that kind of girl. You don't want to react to them. You want to just make a joke out of them or preempt them. You know, like I like to do that with girls all the time is I'll actually give them reasons we can't hook up on the date. Like on a date, I was on a date on Friday night and while we were having drinks, I was like, just so you know, I'm on my period tonight, so nothing can happen. And I like to take those away because then later on the girl can't use them. And it kind of just shows that you understand the language that women speak early on. So that's kind of my thought on things like the I want to go slow, I'm not looking for a relationship right now. It's all logical talk that doesn't really mean anything based on her actions.
That is very true. Now, we've talked about how attraction is a process, and within this process, there are steps. Like you said earlier, a salesman wouldn't call somebody out of the blue and try to make the sale and close the deal without properly warming them up and getting certain indicators of their interest, you know? So as far as attracting and then seducing a woman, do you see it as a very rigid series of steps that you've got to follow one by one?
No, I think of things, it's more cyclical. Generally, you're going to build a little social comfort first, then you're going to break rapport to build attraction, then you're going to start qualification but qualification, comfort, attraction, sexuality, they all kind of cycle. Sometimes really early on, a girl is in a seduction cycle and you can jump into seduction and get really fast results. I mean, I remember I was out with a couple buddies in Dallas one time and there's this really, really hot girl who she had like this, she was from Texas Tech. She had a Texas Tech like belly shirt on, big fake boobs. And she was walking around the dance floor, touching people. And she walked by my two friends and she touched my one friend on the face and then she like touched me on the arm and was like, you're hot. And I grabbed her hand and I like spun her around and I was like, let's go take a walk. And she was like touching me and like rubbing on me and like I got her out of the place and I ended up having sex with her in an alley in like 10 minutes. And that just happened because I saw like she was in what I call like slutty girl mode where she's just looking for a guy who's gonna take a sexual lead with her. She's like walking around touching people and saying, so touching guys and saying things to them. And you know, my friend had made like a cocky, funny comment, like hands off the merchandise, and she laughed and moved on to me. But like I grabbed her and immediately took her to a set place where sex could happen. And that's just because I recognized where she was in the cycle, right? Like my friend thought she was like in attraction. So when he gave her like attraction stuff, it wasn't the right move at the right time. So for me, it's very cyclical. You know, sometimes you'll be, you know, making out with a girl and she needs more attraction in order to get sexual. Sometimes she'll need more comfort in order to get attracted. Sometimes she needs more qualification in order to move herself forward. Qualification, I will say, qualification is the mechanism that moves you forward. Like, you're always going to move from one phase to the next using a qualifier. That's one thing I do think is very, very standard, is that you move between the phases using qualifiers. But in terms of an overall sequence, I think that the problem with a structured method is just that it forces round pegs into square holes. You can't use the same type of game to pick up every girl. There's a different way to game a girl in your social circle than there is a girl on the street, than there is a girl in a strip club, than there is a girl in a bar versus a girl in a high-end nightclub. So to say that everything has to go through one model and that you alter the model for different things is just silly to me. Instead of altering one model, you just have to learn the overall basics and calibration, and then you know when to apply what steps at what time.
That's a really funny example you gave about that girl in the club who was obviously just looking to get laid, you know? And this stuff does happen, and you run across it when you're out there enough. So, yeah, there are times when you've got to throw the playbook out the window and just grab the opportunities when they come up and not worry about, well, first I've got a teaser, and then I've got a qualifier, and then I need to do this. You know, there are times when you've got to just go with the moment. And then there are other times when you do need to be methodical and work the process. But your friend, you know, trying to do his cocky routines, he must have been kicking himself when he found out that you ended up just taking that girl outside and banging her.
He misread the situation because he didn't look at all the factors going into it. Like, he didn't look at the fact that by herself. She's not walking around in a group of girls. She's by herself walking around touching people and saying hi to, like, every guy who, like, was well-dressed or, like, you know, good-looking. I mean, there's no other reason why a girl would be doing that. And I think a lot of guys, they get freaked out by the fact that sometimes girls are looking sexual really early on.
Yeah, and since we're discussing attraction, I also want to get your thoughts on the whole bad boy thing, because this is a question that comes up for so many guys. You know, there's so many guys complaining that they're a nice guy and that women say they want a nice guy and a nice, sweet boyfriend, but they end up dating these guys who are jerks and creeps and liars and cheaters. Now, I've written a lot about this, and I actually have a book called The Bad Boy Blueprint, which explains a lot of ways for the average regular guy to incorporate bad boy characteristics into their own game without being phony and without being manipulative and being that jerk, you know, because there are certain core qualities that bad boys have that women definitely feel strong attraction towards, for better or for worse. So, John, I want to get your thoughts on this. I mean, what's your take on the whole bad boy thing? Why do women feel compelled to sleep with these kinds of guys? And does the regular nice guy have a chance at sort of exhibiting the same qualities to get women attracted to him?
Well, I think there's a certain type of girl who has low self-esteem who goes for bad boys. I think I think what most guys think when they think bad boy is, like what you said, the guy on the Harley who treats her like shit. And the thing is, what happens is if you have a girl who's really hot, but she has really low self-esteem, she really doesn't think she's, like, that worthwhile of a person. She gets that people want to fuck her, but besides that, she doesn't really feel all that good about herself. So when the nice guy comes along and he wants to treat her great, it's mismatching with her worldview on herself, right? So imagine if, like, you were a guy and a friend of yours, you know, brings over a new guy buddy, and it's this homeless dude. And your guy buddy is, like, being super nice to this homeless guy, this, like, homeless piece of shit. And he's like, hey, man, let me get you some beer. You want anything while I'm up? You want any food? You know, and he's, like, doting on his every need. And you're like, why are you doing all this stuff for this piece of shit? That's what hot girls with low self-esteem feel like when you come up as the nice guy and you want to do all these nice things for her. She's like, why don't you get that I'm, like, just a piece of shit? Why do you want to put me on this pedestal? Whereas the bad boy who, like, comes along and treats her like shit, it's more congruent with her worldview. She's like, yeah, that's how I should be treated, because she has low self-esteem. So I think the majority of what guys see with that, it relates to women with low self-esteem. On the other side, I think you look at what characteristics does a bad boy have that girls are attracted to? Because I think I get described as a bad boy a lot, and like I girls consistently tell me that I'm like nicer and do nicer things for them than anything else, but people outside of the relationships always seem to think I'm some sort of bad boy. I think the number one thing is that bad boys put they're selfish, so they put themselves in front of whatever the girl wants, and that is inherently attractive. Women are attracted to men who have something they care about more than girls. That's why your guy who, you know, is in a garage band that isn't going anywhere but, like, loves to practice and play his guitar and blows off the hot girl because he's going to jam with his friends, like, that's why that guy is attractive to girls. Whereas the nice guy who's just like, oh, no, I got nothing going on. I just want to hang out with you. You know, no, I just want to, like, I just want to get married and, like, meet a girl. It's unattractive because there's too much pressure, right? There's nothing that is more important. There's no passion. Another thing is, bad boys generally don't let girls walk all over them. Like, nice guys let girls treat them like shit. And if a girl treats you like shit, she's not going to respect you. Now, that's not necessarily going to mean she's going to treat you better, because it just means she's not going to respect you, and she's not going to be attracted to someone she doesn't respect. So bad boys, because they don't care as much, they have something that's more important than girls, so they're more indifferent. They treat girls more like a friend or normally, and they don't let girls get away with stuff that they shouldn't be getting away with. You know, girls know when they're being bitchy or demanding or unreasonable, and they know when a guy is going to take that and when a guy isn't. And girls are going to be much more attracted to a guy who doesn't take their unreasonable behavior, because it shows that he's got a backbone, he's not afraid of girls, he probably has more women in his life because he's not just going to do anything to get the girl's validation and approval, and that's kind of another thing. So there's characteristics to these guys that are attractive and good that aren't necessarily the treating women like shit, but the treating women like shit definitely is a part of it with those low self-esteem girls. So it kind of falls into two categories. It falls into girls who are low self-esteem, like bad boys, because they reinforce their own ideas that they're not worthwhile people. And girls with high self-esteem are attracted to men who... they're attracted to men who have things that are important to them that aren't just getting girls or the pursuit of girls. They're not going to take bad behavior because they have a higher sense of themselves. They're not just going to do everything a girl demands them to do. And they are able to treat girls normally because they're more indifferent. They don't care as much about making it work with any one girl. So that's kind of my take on the whole bad boys thing.
Well, to follow up on that, I think a lot of guys are under the impression that you're either one or the other. You're either a nice guy or else you're a jerk. There's really no gray area in between. But, you know, what I teach guys to do and what I practice myself is that I'm a nice person. I'm a good guy. I'm a loyal friend, you know, to women and men. But I definitely have a certain edge to my personality, and I don't take shit. And I've got a certain amount of cockiness. And, you know, I call it confidence. They might call it cockiness. But all of my friends and the guys I know who are really good with women, they're sort of the same way. They're good guys. Otherwise, I wouldn't hang out with them. I don't hang out with scumbags. But women do see them as bad boys, and they tease them about it. You're such a bad boy. You know, to women, it's actually a very sexy thing when a bad boy has these certain qualities that turn them on and this certain level of confidence and leadership, but they don't go over the line. They're not manipulative. They're not liars. They're not jerks. So what I'm saying here is, don't you think it's true that in order to be a massively attractive guy to women, you've got to have a certain bad boy edge to your whole personality and your game?
Yeah, I think that I'm pretty much as nice as you can be and still get girls. You definitely can integrate. The first thing I would just say is just have some sort of passion or something that's more important than girls. You know, have something that girls always come second to. For me, it's writing. For other people, it might be something else. But having that is a big, big thing of the bad boy kind of formula. Another thing is to, you know, have a very clear idea of what sort of treatment you will allow from beautiful women and what you won't. This is something that I was actually just writing about this earlier today. Like, I will end relationships real early on if the girl isn't treating me the way I want to be treated, because there's no downsides, right? Because what's going to happen is, like, when I tell a girl, I call them causing scrambles, right? Because I was reading about, like, in mixed martial arts, there's this guy, Marcelo Garza, who's, like, the king of the scramble. And a scramble is basically when you move and you cause a change in position, right? So I do scrambles with behavior, where when a girl's not treating me the way she wants, I'll actually, like, start to preemptively break up with her. Like, I'll text her or I'll call her and I'll be like, look, I've been thinking, you know, like, I just don't think we should talk anymore because I'm not used to chasing girls, or I'm not used to girls who aren't sexually mature, or this, that, or the other. And, you know, I just think, like, we're at different places in our life, so you're awesome, but I think this is the last time we're going to talk. And what that does is, like, for a girl who, you know, is invested in this process of, you know, texting and calling and going on dates, it causes a scramble because now she's going to start changing her behavior instantly, and she's going to start explaining how she's not that way, or this, that, or the other, or promising to act differently. And it can be a really powerful technique once you already have, you know, maybe you haven't had sex with the girl yet, maybe you've just made out, or you've been on a date or something. It's a really good way to harness that idea of showing that you have standards and ways you're going to be treated. And for me, it came about not tactically, it just came about because I have enough girls in my life that I just don't have time for the girls who aren't treating me well. Like, I'm just like, I can hang out with this girl, I can hang out with this girl. They're both equally hot. One of them's really nice to me, and one of them's kind of a pain in the ass. Which one am I going to hang out with? That's something that I think definitely guys can do, is don't just be happy that a girl's talking to you. Like, don't be afraid to set boundaries and talk about how you're going to be treated. You know, like, if a girl's being bitchy, I'll be like, please don't talk to me like that. I'm like, I understand that you talk to other people like that, but, like, that's not cool. And I'll actually call girls out on their behavior, because that's showing kind of that you're not just going to take anything. You're not just happy to be there. And lastly, just, like, being indifferent, I think, is really, really important, because so many guys take every girl too seriously. Like, they take everything like a life and death situation. You have to understand that, like, until you have sex with a girl, you should never even entertain thoughts of dating her monogamously, or, like, her being your girlfriend, or even worth wife, or whatever, you know, guys have their insane fantasies out there about. You know, just don't take any girl or her phone number too seriously until you have a real legit relationship with her, at which point you can start worrying about that stuff. But those three, I think, are real keys to just taking stuff that bad boys do that causes attraction that any guy can really do.
Well, one more point about nice guys is that the irony of nice guys is that often they have the biggest agenda of all. Like, they're the ones who are being sneaky and manipulative, because when a woman deals with a guy who has really strong game, or a guy who's a bad boy, like, women know where they stand with him. This guy is down to fuck. Like, this guy is up for having sex, and that's what his agenda is going to be all about, you know? Now, with the nice guy, he's going to try a different approach. I mean, the nice guy wants the sex more desperately than the guy with game, or more than the bad boy. But the nice guy tries to sort of skirt around it. He tries to win the girl's trust and be her friend, and sort of deceive her into thinking he's not like the other guys, he's not looking for sex. But women see right through this stuff. They know that as a heterosexual man, your goal is sex. And on top of that, when these guys finally do make their move, the girl usually is grossed out by it. She's like, ew, so all along you were pretending to be my best friend when actually you just wanted to fuck me. So, I mean, really, the nice guys are sort of kidding themselves. They're not as nice as they say they are. They have their own agenda and their own sneaky methods. The problem is they're going about it in a totally ass-backwards way that does not work. You know what I'm saying?
Girls definitely know, and they don't respect that agenda. Like, if you have the balls to at least demonstrate interest, you may get rejected, but the girl will at least respect you. And she's not going to try to turn you into an orbiter or someone that she just kind of uses. It's the guys who try to do the, like, friend, or, like, the, you know, I hook you up and I don't care because I just have so much money, or this, that, or the other, that I just party and I like to have everyone have a good time. Those are the guys who get used. Like, the guys who take that angle are the guys who generally get used, because the girls know what they want. They know that they don't have the balls to actually go for it. So they attribute the fact that if they treat them really badly, they're not going to have the balls to say anything about it. So these are the girls, these are the guys that girls will, like, have buy them dinner after they've given me head, like, 20 minutes before. Like, or these are the girls who, like, you know, guys take on vacation and the girl, like, makes sure that they have separate beds in the hotel room. You know, like, the guys who get used, I never feel that bad for, because they're trying this, like, whole nice guy, like, oh, I'll just do everything for you and be, like, your maid, and then eventually you'll fall in love with me. And the girls know what they're doing, and so they just keep seeing what they can get out of them, which is what I would do, too, you know? I mean, it makes sense to me, like... You're not. It's just a dumb strategy for guys in general.
Yeah, true. So I guess the moral of the story here is that if you feel that you're such a nice guy and that women don't appreciate you enough for being so nice, and you can't figure out why women are banging the bad boys instead, well, in reality, it's probably not because you're such a saint and the women are all so shallow and stupid, okay? More likely, the truth is you are using this whole nice guy persona as your angle to try to get laid. But as you're finding out, it is a strategy that just simply does not work. All right, John, one last question. I want to get back to this idea of building attraction through the conversation. And I want to ask you, what are some of the signs that a guy should look out for? Signs that what he's doing is working and that she's starting to feel that sexual attraction. And on the flip side, I want to know, what are some of the signs that maybe you're messing things up and her attraction is cooling off?
Yeah, I mean, if she qualifies herself or she moves with you, those are the two most accurate signs of attraction. Nothing's 100%, but if you're talking to a girl and you're like, hey, I'm going to go grab a drink at the bar, keep me company, and she leaves her friends to walk, you know, 5 feet with you, she's attracted. If she starts qualifying herself about, you know, trying to impress you, she's attracted. Those are the two real consistent signs. When it comes to cooling off, if she doesn't want to answer personal questions, you know, or there's a lot of awkward silence. She's not touching you. She's not giggling. She's not touching. She's not investing in the interaction. Then she's probably not attracted. Investment is really the big sign. When girls are attracted, they'll invest in the interaction. When they're not attracted, they don't invest in the interaction.
Okay, well, that wraps it up. Don't miss the next interview in this series. It's going to be all about rapport and qualification. Very important stuff. Okay, until next time, it's your wingman, Dean Cortez, and I'm signing off.